Blog Talk Radio.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and veteran legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Welcome back to another great episode of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. And for those of you that may not know, I am a full-time barefooter of over 15 plus years. I got rid of the last bare of anything that goes on my feet over 12 years ago. I'm the head of NP Media Group, did a radio program called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victim's legal advocate, standing up for the human rights that we as barefooters have. I'm also the executive producer of an upcoming barefoot documentary, slated for major network release. If you want to be a part of the show today, just call in. The number is 319-527-6208. You can listen at that number. You can also press 1 if you'd like to be on the air. We also have our live chat room going at freedomizerradio.com, so join us there if you want to have a little conversation on the side or share your thoughts and questions there. Just go to freedomizerradio.com to join our chat room. Also, check out our Facebook page and our Facebook group. That's at Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the barefoot community throughout our broadcast and after. Just join our group if you have not joined already. Again, on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, don't think that this is a place to join and get your rocks off on foot pictures.
No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that being barefoot in public is legal. Well, now with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you're wearing any or have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. Last week, I was talking about a lot of stupid laws that exist in the U.S. Guess what? Being barefoot is not a law. Having to wear shoes in public or in public or private establishments is not a law. There's no health department regulations, nothing like that, that exists that pertain to patrons and even employees in most states that have to wear shoes. Yeah, I did explain the difference on a previous broadcast between public and private businesses. If you want to go back and listen to our archives, that was from, I believe, the Thanksgiving weekend episode. If you want to check that out, just go to freedomizerradio.com, search the Barefoot is Legal radio show, and you can find all of our past episodes there. If any questions, you're having trouble finding it, just post a message on our Facebook page or Facebook group. I'd be happy to share that link. It is good listening. And I will briefly explain that, though, as far as the public and private establishments before we move on, in case you did miss it. Don't go anywhere now. You can listen to that on demand anytime you want. But if I have your undivided attention right now for an hour and a half that we have and that limited brief time that we have this weekend, I'll just give you a little recap. A public business is owned by shareholders, a board, and all that. A private business is like a mom-and-pop business. There's only one owner, and that's the main difference. So when you hear the different, you know, when you hear someone say, oh, but we're a private business, yeah, that just means that you own yourselves and you don't share on the stock market. People don't own shares in your company, invest in you. On a public scale, a public business, well, then, I have a great theory. We're private. A large percentage of, especially the major chains and big box stores, they're public companies held publicly by shareholders and stockholders. And I like to say, I don't like the job you're doing for me. I should fire you because you own a percentage of them. Most of you may not know that, but that's correct. There are no laws that regulate shoes in public or private establishments. And that's pretty much the main difference. Again, you can check the whole in-depth spiel about that in our archives. But why do people think there are laws or regulations that require shoes? Well, there's a lot of fear about the unknown based on ignorance. And that's what I was talking about last week. Because most civilized and advanced nations have no issues with bare feet. And yes, I say most, you know, the U.S. being one that does. Now, I just want to say on a side note, that speaking of shoes and going out to other countries as far as barefooting and all that, you know that lions are dying in Africa because of shoes? Tigers, too. Shoes are killing these endangered species. See, we're imposing our Western beliefs that shoes are helpful to people. They're not. Not at all. See, what's actually happening is by us sending shoes over to countries that normally don't wear shoes and imposing our Western beliefs on them, we're actually putting those people in danger. And this is where the lions and tigers come in. See, shoes are slowing down the people while they're trying to get away from the dangers of being chased down by lions and tigers. And the lions and tigers are catching them and mauling them. And see, this is the sad part. Lions and tigers are choking on the shoes. Well, there you go. This needs to end. So we should stop sending shoes over there. And just, you know, if people want to wear shoes, go ahead and wear shoes. But if people want to be barefoot or they can't wear shoes, let them be barefoot. And that's really the whole point of this broadcast. Hope you found that interesting. Now, as I was saying, back on topic here, we do have one of the largest issues when it comes to the discrimination and hate towards people that go barefoot in public. Of course, you know, I said this, you know, the land of the free, because people are free to make up their imaginary things, such as imaginary health department regulations, imaginary laws that they believe exist. And there are three words throughout history that have led to all this, first being discrimination, prejudice, biased. Intolerance, really, is the unjust or prejudicial treatment of different categories of people or things, especially on the grounds of race, age, sex, gender, religious belief, all that. The other one being oppression, and that's just the prolonged cruelty or unjust treatment or control of an individual, and we see that a lot. See, the term, another term is prejudice, prejudgment. See, a person is prejudiced when they have formed an attitude towards a particular social group or people before having enough information on which to form a logical opinion, or knowledgeable opinion, I should say. And when that happens, we end up judging. We end up oppressing people. I mean, it leads to a lot of discrimination. And because our beliefs are primarily determined on what we do and feel, and even what we perceive, all prejudice can be traced to beliefs. People who are convinced that will say African Americans or Muslims or gays are not as good as themselves are usually like white heterosexual Americans. See, they all express their beliefs about these people. A belief is just a statement about reality that we experience as truth. It's a fact about reality for the person who holds a belief. So when we hold a belief about something, we are convinced that we know the truth about that something. But in fact, no belief describes the truth about reality. Without exception, all beliefs are nothing more than arbitrary interpretations of actual events in reality. See, physical objects and events certainly occur in the world, but the meaning we give the events exist only in our minds, not in the world. For example, if someone has been told since they were young that being barefoot is illegal, or that there's a health department regulation against being barefoot in public, they grow up to believe that. And they believe that there are health department regulations, or that it is illegal by law to go out. And especially those businesses that keep putting those NS3 signs in front of people continue that belief. For those of you that don't know, first time listeners are not familiar with the terminology of the barefoot world, NS3 signs are those no shirt, no shoes, no service signs, especially the ones that say no shirt, no shoes, no service by order of the health department. And those just come along to keep hippies and poor black people out of the businesses back in the 60s and 70s. You can catch up on previous broadcasts on that. Again, go to freedomizerradio.com, listen to the archive. I did a whole episode on that. But it leads to establishments, you know, people that were raised in these beliefs later on get jobs in these businesses, later on keep believing that these laws, regulations, or rules exist. Really, in the 60s and 70s, it was just a way for the gutless business owners, you know, that don't want people to think it was them that came up with this discrimination, just to put by order of health department on the sign. This way they can hide behind someone else. Yes, these are gutless stuffed shirts with empty golf bag business owners that apparently just don't want people's money. But, it developed in the belief that all of a sudden health department comes up with laws. It's crazy. See, I think I mentioned last week that there's been many things that people thought of that were real or that made sense or that were legal or different things that worked when in reality they were just myths, untruths, mermaids, the universe revolves around the earth, the world is flat. People believed for hundreds of years that all this was true. And turns out it really wasn't. So many beliefs are based on superstitions, a lack of knowledge and myth. See, when you look at it that way, it's immediately clear that the beliefs about barefooters are only one arbitrary interpretation of what people heard about us, the barefooter, as a child. and it's not really the truth. It's the same with beliefs of race, religion, culture, sexual orientation. There's an unfortunate human tendency to discriminate against things not understood. You see, we as barefooters would choose certain words to describe bare feet, whereas those that dislike bare feet would choose others. There was a book called The Barefoot Hiker, and it had a list of some of these words, and I picked a few out to share with you today. See, bare feet are feet, seen in various situations as being, we'll say a barefooter would say they're carefree. A shod would say they're dangerous. A barefooter knows that their feet are clean. Someone who's always wearing shoes will say, yeah, it's disgraceful or unsanitary. A barefooter would think it's comfortable. The shod person would say it's disrespectful. Barefooters think it's considerate. Others think it's embarrassing. Depending on what side of the argument you're on, depends on which word you would find. Barefooters think it's fun, whereas a shod would think it's improper. Graceful versus inconsiderate. Healthy versus irresponsible. Natural versus uncivilized. There's just, it's all in perspective what people believe. Now, is anyone right over the other? Well, the right and wrong argument can go on forever. See, although some people may disagree with one set of words, and someone who's barefoot may agree with the other, I mean, a barefooter is not unprepared. See, I'm a prepper myself. A prepper is just another name for someone who's prepared for anything, you know, whether it's a small emergency or doomsday apocalypse, I guess you could say. And that's in the opening of one of the TV shows that I've done about the prepping in a dramamentary, I guess you would call it, about a doomsday apocalyptic situation. See, as a prepper, and I have incorporated the barefooting into my prepping. You see, it also builds up endurance, and think of it this way. If there is a doomsday apocalypse, would you not have shoes? I mean, if you run out of your house in the middle of the night, it's on fire, there's a flood, would you really be grabbing your shoes, or would you be worried about your kids, your pets, and supplies for an emergency? See, in the event of a doomsday apocalypse, and if you do have any of stuff, you know, when the stuff hits the fan, it doesn't last a long time. And shoes, honestly, are not that practical. 80% of the shoes people wear in their everyday life will be obsolete in some way or another when trying to do anything that their lives really depend on. Now, go ahead and light up the phones. That's fine. I see you already. I know I must have hit a note somewhere. So either we have a couple dozen people that want to call and complain about that. Hopefully we have a couple dozen people that want to chime in on that and agree. That always happens, though. I notice I'll say something, and it's just like, infuriates someone. But that's okay. Send in your calls. I can handle it. See, anyone you throw at me, you know, I can tell you why they will fail. So I could do a whole episode on this alone. Maybe I could have the Dr. Prepper show, or the Survival Ring Radio is the new show on Freedomizer. I guess I just plugged their show right there on my show. That's okay. Hey, return the favor. The Survival Ring Radio, I could do a whole thing. Maybe I should be a guest on there. They're on Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Freedomizer Network. But okay, that's enough of that. Being a prepper, shoes are not going to last forever. And developing a barefoot lifestyle, kind of like our great, 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 great grandparents did survive without them, we may eventually need to survive without them. Let's think it. You're not going to escape the zombie apocalypse in high heels, flip-flops, sandals, and even your boots are going to destroy you after a while. But Anyway, we do have some calls I'd like to take, and we're going to come to our callers after the top of the hour on our break. If you want to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. You can listen there or press 1 to be on the air. I'd be happy to take your calls. When we go out to stores, those barefooters, restaurants, museums, theaters, amusement parks, traveling, whatever we may be doing, I look at it as we need to be ambassadors and promote. Give a positive image of the lifestyle, because there, like I went through in those words, there are folks out there that look at it in a negative way. Giving them a positive image about it, being ambassadors for it, we can let them know that we are good people, that we are clean people. I mean, think about that one. How often does someone wash their shoes? Mm-hmm. Well, a barefooter at least washes their feet once a day, sometimes more, depending on what they're doing, where they're going, what activities they've been doing. So in a way, yeah, we are cleaner people. We also need to let them know that we're also educated people. See, they may look at us as undereducated, poor, stereotypes. We get judged by stereotypes based on their beliefs and prejudice. And that's what leads to discrimination against us. See, we need to break those stereotypes that some members in the public may have about us. Can we be the ones that take time to volunteer for a local charity or at a community center? In restaurants, if we tip well, or buy a round of drinks for the company around us? Now you're sitting at the bar and, you know, you're having a great conversation with someone, and they, you know, it comes up and you're talking to them about it. Buy a round of drinks. I do it quite often. Buy a movie ticket for the person in line with you. State the purpose for doing it. Say something like, I want you to enjoy your movie. Or have a drink on me. Because oftentimes we are looked at as fill in the blank. You know, I appreciate your company tonight. I'm glad we're drinking together. I'm glad you're eating next to me. You know, here, let me get a round of drinks for you. You know, or I'll get the next bottle of wine. Or have another glass of Merlot. Or have another beer on me. You know, I appreciate your company. I appreciate you being kind. I want to return the favor, because often, just because of me being barefoot, people think that I am blank. Start a conversation about how people are so judgmental. And I would like you to enjoy this drink. I hope it doesn't seem like you'll like that. You have a point to prove. If they want to know where to find information, if they want to know more about the lifestyle, sometimes people are just so curious. They never understood it until they can actually talk to someone. And say, you know what, I've seen a couple people around barefoot, and I never figured it out. I always thought it was this or that or the other. Laugh about it. Yeah, that's funny. You know, some people do seem to feel that way. You know? Tell them about the barefootislegal.org website. Tell them about the Facebook page. Tell them about the group. Tell them about why you're barefoot. Hand them I know on the page there's flyers that you can hand out. There's a lot of information. Hand them one of the flyers or a little card about the organization. The Barefoot is Legal, the group and the page and the website have a lot of information out there to help dispel these myths that the public has. I mean, we all go barefoot for different reasons, cultural, medical, religious, personal choice, like lifestyle choice. Let them know why. Educate them. Because the problem is people are not educated. They're misinformed. Now, when we're out and about, some of us may have been confronted by a customer or a misinformed, ignorant, hateful employee that think they will get a paycheck no matter how they treat their customers. What can we do? Well, there's a few tools you may need when you go out barefoot in public. How about a copy of your state civil right card? just a, we have them on the in the Facebook group. You could print them out. I think it's 8x2 page, business card size. You can save an image on your cell phone and show that to them. Say, no, listen, I have rights. You have a copy of your state civil right card. We have them available, free for the taking. Information's yours. Use it as needed. There's also copies of the health department letters. See, we have letter writing campaigns. We write all 50 states. When we get responses back, we post them on the website and the Facebook group and all that, letting them know, you know, hey, what is the, you know, why can't I, what's wrong? Well, it's a health department regulation. Oh, well, no, actually it's not. Here's a copy of the letter. Download it on your cell phone. Print out a copy. Throw it in your pocket. Or how about a copy of the public accommodation laws from the U.S. Department of Justice, Department of ADA, America's Disabilities? Show them a copy of that. Oh, no, 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 we have a policy. Yeah, well, here in the law it says you need to change your policy. Oh, here's how much you're going to be fined. Have your phone ready to record and document the incident. You never know, and I'll tell you why later on in the broadcast. When you're confronted, always first ask why and go from there. There's no need to argue points that they may not have or thought of. You know, if they say, well, you can't be in here barefoot, don't say, well, you don't have a sign on the door. It's not against the health department. I have a blah, blah, this and the other. Just find out why. Once you know why and you know what the objection is, you can now overcome it with the proof that you have. If their only objection is, well, we have a policy, well, your policy violates this. And I'm sure that according to this, you know that that policy needs to be changed and accommodations need to be made. Ask for their name. Sometimes in a confrontation, just asking for their name, and you say, I'm sorry, may I please have your name, and are you a manager? That resets the tone, and keep control of the argument. Stay calm, though. Explain, justify, and debunk their myths or whatever the objection is that they're doing. And also never, ever, ever say that you don't have a sign. That is the worst thing that can happen, because then it leads them to believe that if I put up a sign, I can do anything I want. Wrong. Don't lead them into it, because then it's just something else we have to get taken down. And it's just something else that keeps putting hate, discrimination, and all that in front of the public. And that's the image that we want to get rid of. We are coming up to the top of the hour. When we come back, our callers, and I'm also going to talk about how easy it is to file a complaint. Where do you file a complaint if you have been discriminated against? And also a few things that you can do after your visit to any store, good experience or bad experience. Also, our callers, when we come back, 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the show. We will be right back.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are 7 of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
In an ever-changing world of political mayhem, raging storms, natural disasters, and growing global discontent, you want to get the real facts on how to prepare for as many situations as possible. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder and executive director of SurvivalRing.org, one of the largest and oldest survival and preparedness websites in the world. At SurvivalRing.org, you'll find thousands of free downloads on every prepper topic known to man and many most haven't thought of. From first aid to storm and fallout shelter plans to alternative technology for when civilization seems to want to fade away, you'll find over 25,000 unique titles available for connecting the dots and preparing for anything. We have survival history, preparedness science, community safety, authentic field training and real-world experience, and more facts than you can shake a lit road flare at, especially for those dark and stormy nights. Come and see what we have, ask questions, and let me find solutions to your current worries. SurvivalRing.org, where our motto is study yesterday, prepare today, live tomorrow. Survival is a lifestyle, but you have to live it to make it. We can help you and your family exclusively at SurvivalRing.org. Online since 1997.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates. And welcome back to our Saturday weekly edition of the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. To be a part of the show, 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air, or just dial that number and hang out and listen. Thanks for joining me this weekend. Again, if you missed anything, you can always check out our archive, and that's on freedomizerradio.com. Again, to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208. Check out our website, barefootislegal.org, and our Facebook groups and pages, Barefoot is Legal on Facebook. Again, this is not a fetish community, so don't even try. We are here to educate and empower you to know the laws and understand and educate people that we have a right, and it is legal, to be barefoot in public. Many of us are barefoot for different reasons, so you know, some of it's cultural, some of it's religious, medical, personal lifestyle, health, disability. Whatever the reason is, we are all here to help empower you and dispel these myths. Before the we were talking about, you know, a couple of useful things if you ever have an encounter. And right now, coming at the end of the after the break, I'd like to share with you a couple things you can do after your visit. Now, of course, we may all have pleasant visits. I mean, it doesn't happen often. There's normally not a lot of overzealous employees out there that think that there these imaginary things still exist, along with unicorns and tooth fairies and all that. But if there is, and there is a business with one of those NS3 signs on their door, call as a customer. Let them know that you saw they have one of those signs. Let them know it's rude, it's offensive, and out of date. It's an out-of-date myth, and that they may want to, and that you are going to reconsider going there. And they may want to consider taking down that sign, because if not, you're going to go to their competitor who does not have one. There's still very few places that have these signs, folks, but it's still out there, and we need to get rid of them. We need to let the businesses know that these are wrong. These policies are old, dated, and actually, when you look at the law, quite illegal. That, and they're just unwelcoming. So, you know, they have the pictures of the dogs on there, however service dogs are allowed in. That little line across the feet, Well, obviously they have to allow feet in there. They're unwelcoming, they're rude, offensive. Now, we also want to be proactive about why people are barefoot. Explain that people are barefoot for cultural, religious, medical reasons and all that. Also, another thing that I like to do is stores have a survey on the bottom of the receipts. Most of them, some of them do. They want to know how your visit was. On the bottom of the receipt, they ask, you know, for your opinions on your shopping experience. And you enter like a little pin to win a gift card or a few points or whatever it is. And there's a couple questions. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to answer some of these questions. They're not complicated. They want your opinion. How often do you shop there? I like to use not often. If this is a business that has one of those signs, I always like to throw this out there. So how often do you shop there? Not often or not at all. Will you return? Answer, most likely not. In the comments, why? Or comments about your visit? Explain that they have an unwelcoming sign. It's discriminatory. And you, your family, and others in the community do not shop there for that reason and normally go to their competitor. Make it sound like you went there only out of necessity. I like to use that. I was waiting for someone to get out of work. I had to give them a ride, and I was waiting. I stopped in for a candy bar. I like to do that. It makes them wake up to the fact that, you know, maybe this is not the image that we want to give the community. Maybe this is not how we want to treat our customers. They also have different comment cards, you know, you can fill out, get a gift card, call about your visit if there's no survey available on the bottom of the receipt. This technique alone has led to 5 chains in over 15 mom-and-pop businesses, if my list is correct, maybe a few more, maybe less, to remove those signs in my community alone. Now, that does not sound like a lot, but keep in mind, there are very few locations that had any such sign. Those businesses are examples to others that may have such signs, and that can help us advance in our movement of equal rights in our barefoot lifestyle. Let me ask you this. Can you set aside that 15 minutes a week, make a phone call, fill out a survey? We should. Have you ever spent a ton of time going through websites to reach out to a company? Well, a lot of companies do have the customer service number, but you want to bypass that toll-free number to customer service. Because you're not really talking to a service rep that makes any decision. We need to start by getting around that and find a phone number to speak to someone in charge or who may really care. So we got to find a corporate office. There's a great website that I've used to find exactly what the corporate office phone number is. It's the General Main Receptionist Extension. It's ecorporateoffices.com. That's offices plural, ecorporateoffices.com. Now, we're going to go back to the company website, though, because we need to know where they're located. So you need to plug in that information on that website. But we also want to start asking for someone by name. We want to ask for someone higher up in the chain. Once you know a contact and their position, look under things on their website like the corporate governance, investor relations, who's who in the company, stuff like that. Find who the operations manager is or who's in charge of public relations or the assistant VP of guest services. So you don't want to go too high up. You call asking for the CEO, the president, the owner. You're just going to get their assistants and teams and another customer service number for escalated complaints. But if you dial around and you have, we'll say, a phone number that's, 937-222-1000. Well, that's the general reception. Try 1003, 1004, 1005. Keep dialing until you start getting voicemails, names, and positions. Once you have someone's name, ask for them by name. Or once you find their voicemail, leave them a message. Let them know that I have an email to send to so-and-so. Is he at his desk? I need his email. Or can you just give it to me? Sometimes it's just the company name and it's first dot last name. That's easy. Start with a section on the company's website called Corporate Governance or Investor Relations. That's the easiest thing. Now, what if we get too much resistance? Sometimes they're just not receptive to it. Well, there are plenty of places out there to file your complaints to get on these companies. Legal routes to take against it. If you think that your civil rights have been violated, contact the ACRU or the ACLU. The ACRU is the civil rights America's Civil Rights Union, the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. I'm going to get all this contact information onto our website and also on the Facebook page. Now, there's also the U.S. Department of Justice, Division of Civil Rights. In the U.S. Department of Justice, there's also the Americans with Disabilities claim you can file. You know, these claims are not complicated. On the ADA's website, you can file a claim online. There's literally 11 questions. And I count like one question is your address. It includes the street, city, zip, and all that. So there could actually be a few more. But 11 simple questions where you know what happened, when it happened, where it happened, and who you are and how they get in touch with you. So I'll leave that there. There's a lot to digest. Now, we do have a couple callers on the line, and before the break, we do have Kevin who's going to join us. Then I believe we also have Proof with us on the air. Proof is going to be coming in to the show shortly. And actually, I think I'll bring a Proof. Are you there, too?
Yeah, I think I'm here.
Hey, there you are. Well, welcome back to the Barefooters Legal Radio Show, boss. The head of the Freedomizer Network, Proof, who also has his radio show on almost every night of the week. And Oh, no, that's okay. I didn't know if I lost you there or not. But and I also have Kevin that I was bringing in right after that thought. So, Kevin, you're also on the show. Proof, do you have any updates for us or what's going on out in the world in New England?
I didn't want to take too much of your time, but I just wanted to share that I put up a contest on the Facebook page. It's a membership drive, and the winner will get just something small. It's a $25 gift card and a Freedomizer Radio T-shirt. But it's for whoever can share our memes, our news, and our discussions the most and bring in the most members. So whoever brings in the most members by sharing memes and getting the word out, this is not where, I got 4,102 friends, I'll invite them all in. That's not, we don't dump our friends list here. We have to physically give the link and let them hit the join button. And if you tag me or tell me that you brought some friends in, I'll write down their names. And as long as they're a member by on the night of Sunday, February 5th at 9 o'clock, then obviously you get credit for it. They can't just come in, hey, look, I brought somebody in, and then 20 minutes later they leave.
In your end of the world, that's 9 p.m. Pacific, right?
Yes.
Got it. That's good to know.
And
hopefully that'll attract some more members.
Allowed to enter, just not me.
Oh, cool.
Well, I want to teach everybody social media skills, and it's just one of those things that if you can share a meme or just share a discussion, people will talk. And when they talk and then it sounds like they're interested, you just give them the link to our Facebook group and you show them our website.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I think that's going to get a lot of exposure out there. And
Members that are still scared of showing their own shadow, so that's what I'm working against.
Yeah, I was going through. I'm also one of the admins on the page. If listeners don't know, or any of the members don't know. And I was going through just pictures to add for a slideshow during the radio show for those that listen online, and they can, pull up the page. And I don't know if I got it working or not. But I did want to take some different pictures and memes from the website or from the group just to throw out there to allow some visual appeal besides the graphic that we have for the show. And I was going through just some old posts that some of these pictures were from, and I figured, well, we have never heard from some of these members in over a year or months. So I was actually going to start maybe going through and just looking at some of the older posts and just commenting on them just to see if they're still active or if they're still paying attention, you know, just to see where that goes. But I think a contest is great, little incentive to, you know, say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're doing. We're here. This is where to find us. Is a great idea.
Well, I want people to get used to the idea that they can show their friends this group. I don't know why this is hidden, but you could show a picture of your French toast that you just got at IHOP this morning, and that's okay.
Viral if it has, like, a burnt mark of the Virgin Mary, you know, on it.
Yeah, so how do we get people to go from I'm never going to show this group to a person in my life to, hey, maybe I could show this to a few people?
I don't know. I think something just as simple as if you can show your feet, you can show a meme.
Right, and you don't have to necessarily say what side you're on or the other, just like I did a driving one today that said if there were no laws against driving barefoot, would you do it? And just sharing that just gets the conversation out there. And then people will be on both sides, and then you get to talk amongst people and anybody that sounds like they're interested. Hey, did you see our website? Or did you see our, we have a Facebook group. That's all it is. I find it real easy when I can sit down and I know I have 3 or 4 hours to do this, that I could bring in a bunch of members.
I mean, and it doesn't even take much time either. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much time either. I mean, it's no different than when you're just going through your social media. I do it about twice a day, and I set aside different blocks of time for different things that I do. And it's if I take a half hour just going through my thing, sharing things and posting stuff here and there. It's just part of that time. I mean, you're sharing stuff anyway. You're on your account. You're interacting already. So one more, or just having something out there that you want to share, I think we just need to encourage them to do it.
Well,
I think
that's
the time
the
people are already on social media anyway.
Right. And everybody has friends on their Facebook that we're not hitting. And if it's possible to grab some people that will say something, and whether it's this meme or whether it's another one down the road, and I'm not saying you have to share 12 things a day and inundate your Facebook wall with it, but it's okay to mix it with other news and other stuff. You're on my Facebook, Nick. I probably post more news articles than anyone else you'll meet on Spybook.
That's true. Actually, I get more news articles from you than Neil Bortz and Herman Cain combined, I think.
So, yeah, my goal is to get all the messages out there with news, and then I sprinkle it with other types of fun follies, and then I'll throw 2 or 3 times a week, I'll throw something regarding the Barefoot is Legal group in there just to mix everything up. And if you can get people to read your feed whatsoever, then they're going to see everything. So that's my goal, is to hit all different kinds of people.
Yeah. Actually, one of the funnier ones that I found when I was going through all the old posts, looking for different memes to share on the slideshow for the radio, was the Geico, the Geico Gecko.
Yeah.
Has saved a lot of money on shoes. I think that's one of my favorite ones. I shared that yesterday. And,
I think that was Roger Strickland that made that one. I did not. I pretty
oh,
much
yeah.
stick to my own my own themes, where others will do spoofs.
Got it. Let me see if I can find who did that. It doesn't say because I saved it as an image, and then I'm just looking at it now. But yeah, no, I mean, great idea. I mean, getting it out there, sharing it, especially some of the popular memes, celebrities. Kermit the Frog, the Geico Gecko, things like that I think people would love sharing. And actually, no matter what it is, I mean, whatever the individual wants to use as a vehicle to promote is great. And I think I have some memes that I'm going to start putting together too, just to throw out there. Mine are a little more abrupt. I guess it just goes along with the personality. But yeah, I'm gonna start throwing some together here in a little bit, and we're also working on the Barefoot Rights cards. So
okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna
Nick got a couple of letters from health departments. He got one from Kentucky and Florida. He said.
Great.
And
I saw the Kentucky one.
State also.
Great. Yeah, I did see the Kentucky one posted. So that's good to see that we're getting some more response from that. And, hey, good news all the way around.
Right, and he's also, he has the bank, I mean, the Mall of America interested in hearing what we have and what our thoughts are so they can officially welcome us in.
That's great. Yeah, I'm following that update pretty closely, too. And I think there was even talk about some formal letter or something to send them, so... I know that Nick and I have been back and forth on that a little bit. So that'd be great. I like how, you know, it's great how things unfold and how people are finally coming around to realize that, you know, all these prehistoric myths that exist just really aren't true. And, you know, logical business owners, logical people that make decisions are being receptive to this whole thing.
Well, and a lot of it, too, is we have people that are willing to stand up for ourselves now. Nobody was willing to do that previously.
That's true. You know, I mean, you could have 7,000 people sitting there, but until they want to actually stand up and do something, nothing's going to get done.
Right. And you can't just sit down and wait for your turn. Now that's not how the world works.
Yeah. Freedom and rights are not given to you. You have to fight for them. We've known that all throughout American history.
Right. It's like I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in 3 days, but I'm going to sit in my bathroom and I'm going to wait for somebody to bring me food, even though I live here by myself.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. But that's the impression, that's the mentality that some people have. Like, they think that the cat's going to feed them. You know? It doesn't work that way.
No, I was just trying to kill dead air because I count to 5 or 7 in my head, and if there's no sound, I just know instinctively doing radio that I got to
keep going.
The ball rolling.
Yeah, keep something happening so that someone doesn't fall asleep. Yeah, no, 5 seconds is a long time in radio for dead air. But I know we have Kevin that's been hanging on. He wants to check in with us. I figured before the bottom of the hour break, I could bring him on for a little bit.
Okay, and
Kevin,
are you in the Freedomizer radio chat room powered by QuickChat?
I am working on signing in. I don't remember what my password is or anything like that, so I got to...
This is a brand new one here because the
Oh, so I got to start over.
Yeah, we're trialing different ones. And the other one I kind of liked, but I don't know if we're going to pay $20 a month to get started and have some of the access I want. I just haven't figured it out yet.
Got it.
But
well, I'm
going
to figure
just on the bottom of the chat room, there's a little button that has the number 400 on it, and you just type your name in there.
Got it. All right. Well, I'll get going on that. And we also have Kevin, who's joining us now. Is Kevin still here with us, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, welcome back to the program, our good friend Kevin. We have about 3 minutes before the bottom of the hour. So how's your week been going, and how's your barefoot adventures?
Hey, it's all good. You know, as a matter of fact, the snow has finally melted over here.
No, that's good.
But of course, I'm not one of those people who really does snow footing, if you get my drift. But
no pun intended.
Well, it was, you know, it was early this week when, well, I'll be honest, there was like snow in front of my front door in my apartment, because I live on the second floor. So I decided, let me go ahead and, you know, try it out, even though I did before. So I lasted at least a good 30 seconds before my feet started to get cold. So I accomplished something.
It takes a little, you know, you have to get used to it. It's something your body just has to, you know, you condition your body for.
Not exactly. You do what some Americans do. They move to Vegas.
There you go.
Yeah, just like the old Raiders, you can always move to Vegas.
Yeah, or the Chargers moving to L.A.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that, Nick. I know you're not much of a sports guy, but the Raiders put in the official paperwork today to move to Las Vegas.
I did hear that. Yep. So that should be
that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It was earlier this week. I had run some errands. And I'm thinking, okay, with all this snow and ice and salt on the ground, you know, I decided to put on my sandals, my Zero shoes. Now, of course, I only did it because I heard stories about how the salt burns your feet, you know. And now see that when they lay salt, they don't lay it everywhere, just in the main street. So basically, because they're not going to lay it in the parking lot of a business or and whatnot. But then again, there was out of my apartment, there was looked like some bluish, greenish looking salt, I guess. So basically, it didn't burn my feet like I thought it would. I mean, based upon the stories that I'm hearing, I don't know if y'all ever heard of anything like that, but I guess it ain't true. So after leaving Best Buy, I decided to go to the mall, and just took off my sandals and now went into the mall like nobody's business, and you know, and it was like, because I was trying to find something, and to my surprise, I wasn't even bothered. You know, I saw two mall security guards. I don't think they even noticed, you know, but it was a good thing that they didn't notice. So went in and out and in and out and successful, no issues at all, which is great. And,
that's great.
And also for the newbies to barefooting who are listening today, and we should probably post this on the Facebook page as well. One place, Public Storage is one of those small businesses that is great to start out with, just because there's hardly nobody in there. All the employees are behind the desk, so they're not going to really even notice. So that's one good place to start if you're a beginner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody when they first start out has to find their comfort level when they first get going, and they, you know, they just need to be comfortable. You know, sometimes people just anxiety, just pressure, whatever it is, they just need to be comfortable going out for their first time venturing out there, and find their comfort level, and then expand from there. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour, Kevin. Those are very great thoughts. Thanks for sharing. When we come back, more from Kevin and a couple more callers.
Hey,
so
Freedom
Rest,
join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo. Be sure to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Justice Club on Freedomizer Radio. Grab a snack, grab a latte, grab a friend, or grab a stranger. I've been on the front lines for 25 years, and I've been labeled as the crusader for equal rights by the media many times. So join my crusade on the Justice Club at Freedomizer Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, or save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, on cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right now, right here. The check was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost us $82. At a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we're going to check out. Here's what you can do. If you want to save that much money, view the books in your area before you buy. You can go to freedomizerradio.com and barefootislegal.org. Just click on the city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around your town with your new Save Around book. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Click on your town and start saving money now.
Welcome back to our final half hour here on the Barefoot is Legal radio show this wonderful Saturday. And we just heard from Kevin, and Kevin has some great stories for us. Proof for a Brief Bit was on the air with us, the founder of Freedomizer Network. If you want to listen to any of our archives, check them out. That's freedomizerradio.com. If you want to be a part of the show, we may still have some time for some callers. 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be part of the show, or don't press anything after you dial the number, and just feel free to listen if you're not able to listen to us online. So we have some great conversation with Kevin, and we have a caller that called in a couple weeks ago. Brian, he's one of our liberal friends who was sent to do some research. And Brian, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. You're on the air now with Nick Pierce. I'm your host, and welcome back. So you called a couple weeks ago. We were having a conversation about rights, and from what I understand, you have an opposing view. And if you want to share a little bit of that with our listeners, feel free.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Just to recap, I think that we talk about freedom, Freedomizer Radio. We talk about rights, and individuals have a right to be free from violence used against them in the exercise of their property, their justly acquired property.
Correct.
And where those rights end is where someone else's rights begin, essentially, if it's somebody else's property. And the way I see like businesses going into a business barefoot is that the business is the business owner's property. And if they want to essentially kick somebody off or evict them or say, you're trespassing, I want you to leave, it may be a really jerky thing to do. You may not think that's a nice thing to do, but it's their property, it's their right, and the customers, their rights end when they walk into the business owner's store, essentially. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does. It does. That's a very good point you make based on that. Yes, property owners do have a right to defend or refuse service to people against violence, like you said. However, barefooters are not violent. someone in a ski mask with a gun or a bazooka. I can see where maybe they wouldn't want them in the store. Yeah, they're probably losing the argument on that one, though, as a business owner, if that's the case. But barefooters are not violent. Is that what you're implying? I mean, is that we're not coming in being violent. And, you know, if we were, of course, you know, we'd be in the wrong.
Right. So when it comes to politics, and I've got somewhat like a political opinion, being a libertarian, which is one in a thousand, where Gary Johnson recently got like 3-5% of the vote. Although if he wasn't very principled, that's a different discussion. But when you as a barefooter, as an individual, you go into a business, you're very nice and polite, you just want to have a pleasant transaction, you know, buy your product and leave and have a great day. But when you go and you go to the government and advocate for special privileges, essentially, special exemptions, like with the Americans for Disabilities Act, at that point, if the business owner is not in compliance with the ADA or any other legislation you would want passed, at that point, the government forces them to be in compliance or fine them, and if they don't pay the fines, they get sent to jail, or you know, the DEA comes in and raids marijuana shops that aren't in compliance and things like that, and the state will escalate until violence if you resist them. So you as a barefooter may be perfectly pleasant and nice and everything else, but when you have essentially a gang who comes in and does the dirty work for you, it doesn't matter to me if you know, they're the local mafia, or if they have a shiny badge that says, you know, agent of the United States. The violence is still violence. That's what I oppose. Does that make sense?
You know, from what you're saying, it seems like the business owners should have a right to say, we don't want people in wheelchairs, we don't want people of certain religions, we don't want people of color, we don't want an authority over that to make sure that everybody is guaranteed or has an equal opportunity to enjoy the goods or services that a business offers. A business is a public accommodation. Any commercial facility or transportation facility is. People do have rights that are protected, whether it's because of medical reasons, cultural, religious, anything like that. It is protected. And that's the great thing about the Constitution, is that we do have a right to liberty and pursuit of happiness and our freedoms. To practice what religions we choose. And if someone is in violation of the Constitution, such as a business owner, that is not allowing someone to freely enjoy the same services that everybody else can, and if these other agencies did not exist, we'd still be back in the days of slavery, of, you know, women not being allowed to vote, of you know, handicapped people looked at as different or, you know, not part of society. And that's not the case, right? The mentality of the U.S. has changed quite a bit because of these agencies and people being protected under these. And I'm glad that agencies exist out there to protect against people like you. Because if there were more of you out there, Brian, and you did not want people in businesses, you did not want people of color, creed, or whatever, and you think that business owners have a right to discriminate against that, boy, I'm glad that these agencies exist. We have another caller on the line from Ohio. Laura, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. You're on the air. And how are you this Saturday? First time caller, I believe.
I am very fine. Thank you. And I've been listening for the past few weeks, and there are 3 points from today's broadcast that I would like to make. Number one, Brian, does that mean that a business owner, which is open to the public, only likes the color gray, we'll say? So every customer has to wear gray to shop or do whatever services in that establishment. Now, personally, I look lousy in the color gray. So you're saying to me, not only can I not come in barefoot, because you don't like it, but I must wear gray. If a business owner doesn't want to open its doors in a fair, non-discriminatory way, guess what? He shouldn't be in business. Then he should lock himself up in a monastery. I'm not trashing monasteries. I'm Catholic. And just live in a little bubble and just focus on what he wants to do. You can't impose that you don't like the color gray. I mean, you love the color gray, and you got to wear it to shop there. That's number one. Number two, about getting people to join. I did join, and it was due to a member. I mean, I started to look at the site, and there was a comment about if someone says, you know, hey, you're not wearing shoes, what do you say? Now, I was so proud of my answer. My answer was, you know, well, they're in my sock drawer. And I, being an egomaniac, I showed everybody that I knew. I said, hey, look at this comment I made. Now, that got people interested. I don't know if many people joined, but by using humor and humor and sharing what we may post to show people what we may post might inspire people to join or at least give a listen and learn with an open mind. That was my second point. Number three, do you realize my manicurist loves me? Because there are many of us who maybe get manicures all year round, but only pedicures in the summer when we're going to go to the beach and our toes show. But do you know how many, how that industry, the cosmetic industry, booms because, being an egomaniac, you are so proud of your feet. So you have designs put on your toenails, and there are salons all over the country who run specials maybe on Mondays or Tuesdays and are open like bazillion hours, like 12 hours a day. You can slip in there for a pedicure and do the special, and for considerably less than it costs to have decorative shoes, your feet look wonderful. Those are my three points. We're good for the cosmetic and the bad industry, using humor and sharing what we even write on the site. And you cannot regulate what people wear or don't wear in a business. Don't be in business then. Do I sound grouchy?
You've made three great points, actually. You know, as far as, you know, business owners being able to say, well, we don't like our customers or we want them to do certain things. That just can't happen. Actually, as a business owner, if they do make someone do something that they normally don't do, then they're liable. For example, right. It's no different than having an old lady get the jar of pickles off the top shelf by herself when she's reliant on a walker and can't even stretch that far.
Right.
No different than if you require someone to do something like wear shoes when they normally do not wear them, the business owner is establishing a duty. They're assuming liability, really, in the eyes of the law. Mm-hmm. There was the lawsuit 2012 where a business owner required a patron to wear something on their feet. They were then in the establishment doing something that they normally do not do, such as wear footwear. Another patron got hurt because the footwear that they were wearing caused a slip hazard on the floor. The other patron who got injured because the owner made another patron put something on their feet, sued the business and won $60,000.
There you go.
Because the business owner made another patron put something on their feet, put shoes on. And that was enough to cause injury to the other patron, and they were liable. That's the law. As far as sharing on the social media, that's a very good point. Are you a barefooter yourself, or just came across the page or the group, or what's your lifestyle status with that?
I came across the group. I still don't have the starch to do the cold or, you know, anything like that, cold or mud barefoot, because I get, like, weird. But I'm learning. And I also find another point, may I say, I come from a family where my grandmother never took off her shoes. I swear to God she slept in her old lady shoes. But we were going to visit, my entire family was going to visit my family in New Jersey. And my mother said, could you please tell your son to wear shoes for grandpa because he doesn't understand da-da-da-da-da. So I said, okay, Mom, here it goes. Either we're all coming for Thanksgiving or none of us are coming. It's, you know, bare feet or nothing. So my mother then thinking, well, it's better to have the family there. She said, all right, never mind. When we got there, my mother, as soon as we walked in the door, kicked off her shoes and did not wear her shoes all weekend. And it was mentioned by a friend of my son's who said, hey, did you notice that Nana is, you know, barefoot? And she sat there wiggling her toes in the living room during happy hour, very formal affair, without her shoes. So that we teach or we can, well, I don't want to say convert, but we can get people more on this side just by example. Like at home, like, you know, if I run around barefoot all the time, it's like, really? You know, now my grandchildren kick off their shoes right away. I mean, that's, you know, as soon as, like, no one is saying, a parent is saying, put your shoes on, the shoes are off. So that we teach by example. You know, you teach language and walking by examples. You can teach barefoot by example. And one day, I was going into a government building with the oldest grandson. And there was a barefoot family in front of us. And he said, hey, Nene, look, they're not wearing shoes. The little boy turned around and said to him, yeah, why are you wearing shoes? And the mother was like a little bit, like, she had like a little bit of an accent. She looked and she said something like, first of all, she said, it ain't natural to wear them shoes on your feet. So, you know, she said, so we don't wear shoes. And this would, this, like, the demographic was kind of like the last place you would imagine. You know, you expected them to be in farm boots. So it's by example, you know, that I think people learn and appreciate it and respect it. And that's what the key is. It's the respect. Someone like Brian has no respect for anybody, really. You know, wear gray and hip boots, I guess, if you want. But don't make me wear gray and hip boots. And that's just what I'm saying. And in the salon where I do get my pedicures, they don't give those little flip-floppy things or whatever after a pedicure. You walk barefoot there. That's that. So you do, you know, it's a very positive thing. And, yes, you know, I can see myself going closer, 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 closer because I like pedicures.
So you got to show off the artwork there on the toes then.
Absolutely, yes. And my granddaughter also, you know, and she even said to the operator one day, she said, you know, now make my toes really pretty, because she was going to be barefoot. That was that.
That's great to hear. Some great stories. And, yeah, Brian, I don't know. I don't know if he's still out there listening, but I don't know if he's even run a business, owned a business. We sure know that he's not a business attorney. Or that would not be coming out of his mouth.
Right, exactly.
And we have Kevin. I don't know, Kevin, do you want to chime in on this one too? I'm going to bring you on the air with Laura, first-time caller. Kevin, a quite frequent caller ever since the program started, before I was even the host. So we have about 8 minutes left this weekend. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to have some final words on the air, feel free. Kevin, welcome back to the program. Laura, I'm going to keep you on there as well. And
okay.
Listen to Barefoot is Legal. So, Kevin, I don't know. You, Kevin's a longtime barefooter. Laura seems to be a newbie. So I'm the most experienced, I think. But, hey, you guys
yes, you are.
Have fun on the air. So,
hi, Kevin.
How are you doing? I think it was something that you said earlier, how you said that you said it was really illegal for business to put up a no shirt, no shoes, no service sign. Was that really true?
Yes, that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it infringes on someone's rights as far as when it comes to their disability, their religious or cultural belief. There's also two portions of the law. Whereas if a business is using that sign in a way to misinform, misguide, or anything like that, there's two different avenues. Some charges are criminal, some charges are civil. Now, what will happen is if they use a sign that claims that by order of the health department on their sign, that's considered fraud. Now, fraud is not just a deliberate act of deception to secure unfair, unlawful gain. It's also defined as to deprive a victim of a legal right. So that's where fraud could come in. There's also misrepresentation, which is another portion of the law. Now, representing something incorrectly is considered misrepresentation. So it does not need to be intentional or intentionally false to create liability. A statement made with conscious ignorance or disregard for the truth can create liability. And if they know, and if it's brought to their attention that that sign infringes on someone's rights, protected rights. We're not talking about rights to go in with a marching band, make noise, and light off fireworks. Yes, that's freedom of expression, but there's certain rights that are protected. So if they know that, and it's brought to their attention that that sign is making a statement, now they are consciously ignorant. And if they disregard that truth, that creates liability in misrepresentation.
Well, okay. I think I get it. You know, I know there's still lots of places such as like Dollar General, and it has it like right in front of their door is stated on their rules. So I'm thinking, okay, even if, you know, they don't, even if these businesses do, or I say don't have a no shirt, no shoes, no service sign, you know, they can still put in their policy. And even if we don't, you know, bring up saying, even if we don't bring up the fact that there is no sign, they can still say, or, you know, it's still company policy for customer safety and junk like that. I think that's something that's probably hard to fight if it's in their company policy.
Well,
but then their policy would probably be illegal. And I know I've walked into a business from a wet, this was a few years ago, a wet outside, you know, in heels. Shoes, I had my shoes on and a shirt. And as soon as I took a step in onto their floor, I slipped and fell. Now, I tried that without shoes, and I was sure-footed. So I think it goes back to that liability thing, and they can be sued. And also, their policy violates the civil rights and all the other stuff I think Nick has mentioned. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
exactly. So it was like, you know, how, like even when I wrote to Dollar General through email, giving all the facts, saying how it's not. They're not liable, you know, because my local Dollar General store, the one that's right around the corner from my house, they still think that they're liable if I cut my foot, you know. Mm-hmm. And I try to give them the facts. I try to get them facts and tell them, y'all not liable. That's not true. It's just like if you put it's all about a duty of care. If you put if you're mopping the floor and you put a wet floor sign, you know, saying warning, you know, this is a wet floor. That the store is covered.
Exonerates them from the duty of care, because what they've done was they haven't breached any duty. So they showed no negligence. So it's so hard to sue a business if you do get hurt in their establishment, because as long as they've exhibited duty of care, then it's not likely that the customer would win suing them. No different than if they had a broken shelf and the shelf constantly was moving, and merchandise fell off the shelf and landed on someone, and that flip-flop that they claim is going to protect them against these dangers, what they're doing is they're warranting that flip-flop, it's creating a false sense, misrepresenting that flip-flop will save them from injury. Well, if the shelf collapses and that flip-flop does not save them and they break their foot, get a bruise, a contusion, or whatever it is, or cut their foot on any merchandise in that store, then the store is liable because they warranted that flip-flop was going to protect someone, giving them a false sense of security. Then, in which case, there is a link between the actual breach of duty of care by them not fixing the shelf, making any claim misrepresentation, and breach of that harm, and then there's financial monetary settlement or awarding from that on the actual harm or damage that's done. And as far as companies with their policies, then there's a in general, according to the law, they need to make modifications to policies, practices, and procedures. So a place of public accommodation needs to make reasonable modifications in their policies to make sure that the necessary goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, and all that are available to customers.
Here's another thing. So if I go into Dollar General and they approach me and talk about, you know, I can't be in here with shoes on, it's company policy, blah, 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 you know, what should I really tell them? How should I really approach that again in a different way?
Goes back to what I said earlier in the broadcast, where first we want to find out why. Once we know what their main objection is, then we can take it from there. If their issue is you're going to get hurt, then you can simply say, listen, if you think that your store is so dangerous, I'm glad you told me maybe people should not be shopping here. Because no one wants to claim that their store is dangerous, because then that means that they're not doing the job. Right there, they're establishing negligence.
And it goes back to what we were, you know, talking about before, you know, saying when they say there could be broken glass. Well, if you believe that, number one, show me where it's at. And number two, why are you not sending nobody to clean it up?
Exactly.
Right.
And that's the negligence part. You know, if they claim it's a health department issue, show them a letter from the health department. If they claim, you know, it's against the law, show them that what they're doing is against the law. Once you find out what the objection is, then you know how to handle it. And every situation is going to be different. And the problem is why some signs still exist and why there may be some resistance from that company that you keep mentioning, Dollar General, is no one has yet said, this is the law. You're violating it. We have rights. Straighten your act out or we're going to pursue it. I think that now that the movement has been growing and now we have people that are more aggressive and more activist minded, and now there's a platform now for people to go to where people are writing letters, people can give the legal advice, stand up for people's rights, even a voice on the radio like this to empower people to know what the rights are. That is key in advancing our cause and ending discrimination and all that. So
well,
we are out of
somebody,
time. Sorry, Kevin.
General.
Go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off there, but we are out of time
for
this week.
I'm sorry. I was hoping that somebody would write to places like Dollar General and tell them what the law is and all that stuff. Maybe they'll change their policy and all these other companies. I mean, just like I was telling you before with Food Lion, who said they'll in the letter that they wrote me and in my call to corporate when they said that they'll accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons, even though shirt and shoes are required. So which means it's okay for me to go in the Food Lion barefoot. And they say,
correct.
They say I could call.
Yes, that is correct. They that you can get in there. They companies are aware now when it's phrased the right way and when letters are written that there are laws that protect a barefooter's rights. And great points, and we can talk more about that next week. Kevin, thanks for being on the show. Laura, thanks
sure.
for joining us. And it was great having everybody here. And we are out of time. Until next week, keep your shoes off and see how you enjoy it. I'm Nick Pierce. You're listening to Barefoot is Legal, freedomizerradio.com. If you want to check out our archives, if you missed anything or want a recap of what we've discussed before on past episodes, also, facebookislegal.org, and check out our Facebook group and pages on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. Until next time, I'm Nick Pierce. Thanks for listening.